Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. This time, we're going to be taking a look at the Book of Sacraments. It's a pretty fascinating text, less about, you know, traditional religion and more about figuring out, well, what might come after this life.
Yeah, kind of like a roadmap,
Yeah.
you know, for the bardo, that state between death and rebirth.
And we've got some pretty interesting sources to help us unpack this. The book itself, which is written by E.J. Gold, is structured kind of uniquely, uses these numbered aphorisms, or you could almost think of them as prayers, like affirmations to help guide you through this journey.
Yeah, and the forewords themselves are fascinating, like the one by the editor, Linda Corvo.
Right.
She actually says she wants this book read to her on her deathbed.
Wow, talk about commitment. What do you think it is about this book that makes it so powerful, powerful enough for someone to want it as their final companion?
I think it's how it handles those big questions about death and the nature of reality. But it does it in a way that's not tied to any one religion. It's really focused on pure spiritual consciousness as the ultimate reality, no matter what you believe in this life.
Okay, so let's break down that phrase a bit. Pure spiritual consciousness. What does that even mean, especially in the context of this book?
Well, it's getting at the idea that there's a reality beyond what we can see and touch, a deeper kind of energy or awareness that connects everything. And the book suggests that by tapping into that, we can break free from that cycle of birth and death.
Okay, liberation. So this isn't just about like floating in a white light after we die.
Not exactly, no. The Book of Sacraments describes a pretty intense journey through this bardo state, one where you confront different aspects of yourself, and honestly, some of those are pretty scary.
Okay, now we're getting to the good stuff. The book actually lays out specific stages of this afterlife journey. So first up, death and the encounter with the clear light.
Right, and it's described in some pretty vivid terms. You know, you feel the earth sinking into water, then the water into fire, fire into air, and then finally that air dissolving into the void of spiritual consciousness.
Whoa, that imagery that's pretty intense.
Yeah.
So is this clear light what people talk about in near-death experiences?
There are definitely some similarities. The book describes it as this state of pure awareness. And if you've prepared properly during life, you might have the chance for a conscious rebirth.
Okay, hold on. Prepared properly. So we're talking daily meditation and only eating organic kale.
Maybe not the kale, although it couldn't hurt. But yeah, the book really emphasizes the importance of cultivating your spiritual body during life, essentially becoming more aware of that pure spiritual consciousness we were talking about.
So the more tuned in we are to that spiritual side, the more, say, we get in what happens after we die.
Yeah, that's the idea. The book suggests that by letting go of all those attachments to the material world and, you know, really recognizing the true nature of reality, you're giving yourself more freedom to choose your next form, your next life.
This is where things start to bend my mind a little bit. You're saying we actually get to choose what we come back as.
According to the book, yes. But it's not as simple as just, you know, picking a species out of a cosmic catalog. It's about choosing a form that's going to help you keep growing spiritually, one that aligns with how well you understand this deeper reality.
Okay, that makes a little more sense. So let's say we've made it through that clear light experience. We've made some initial choices. What happens next on this bardo journey?
You enter what the book calls the secondary clear light. And this is where things get really, really visually intense.
Intense, like how? Give us the details.
It describes encountering all kinds of forms and visions. Some are peaceful, some are, well, not so peaceful. It talks about things like the primal elements, guides, ancestors. But it also gets into some pretty frightening figures.
Okay, before we jump into the scary stuff, let's talk about those peaceful visions. What's the significance of encountering them?
Even those peaceful forms, the book suggests that ultimately they're manifestations of your own consciousness. It's like your deepest fears and desires and memories all taking shape in this in-between state.
So it's not like you're actually meeting these beings, but rather facing different aspects of yourself.
That's it. And the key, the book says, is to not get attached to these visions. Stay indifferent. They're all temporary. Ultimately, they're all an illusion.
Okay, I'm starting to get it. So even if you encounter, I don't know, a friendly-looking ancestor or something, you shouldn't cling to them because it's all just a reflection of your own mind.
That's the teaching, yeah. And that's where all that preparation we were talking about comes in. The book really emphasizes recognizing that illusory nature of reality, both in this life, AD, in the bardo.
Okay, that makes sense. The better you understand that concept now, the less likely you are to be fooled by all these visions after you die.
Exactly. You're less likely to get swept up in the drama, the emotional roller coaster of it all. You can move through this stage with more clarity and awareness.
All right, so we've talked about those peaceful visions, but the Book of Sacraments also mentions encountering what it calls abominable forms. Can you tell us more about that?
This is where it gets even more interesting, I think. It actually gives us specific examples of these forms. It talks about the Lord of the Black Jewel, the Guide of the Rose, even a bloodthirsty one.
Whoa, those names are pretty intense. What are these figures all about? Are they supposed to scare us?
Well, they're definitely not meant to be comforting. But the book says we should face them without fear, even the terrifying ones. Because, again, they're all aspects of your own consciousness.
Hold on, so even the negative, the scary stuff, it's all just us.
That's what the book suggests, yeah. And by acknowledging those darker parts of ourselves, understanding that they're part of the journey too, we can move past the power they might have over us.
I'm getting the sense that this book really challenges a lot of the common ideas about the afterlife. It's not about judgment or punishment, but about facing yourself, good, bad, and the ugly.
You got it. And by understanding that, the book says you can navigate the Bardo more consciously and make choices that lead towards liberation from that cycle of death and rebirth.
Okay, so we've faced our demons. What's next? The book also gives instructions on how to choose your next rebirth, right?
It does. It's actually quite specific. It says to avoid couples driven by passion or regression, seek out those who are in harmony, who have a spiritual awareness.
So basically, choose parents who are already enlightened, or at least on the path. That seems like a pretty tall order.
Well, it's not about judging others. It's about choosing what's going to be the most supportive environment for your own spiritual journey. Remember, the goal is to pick a rebirth that helps you keep growing spiritually.
Okay, so it's less about finding the perfect parents and more about finding an environment that aligns with your spiritual goals. But how do you even know which way to go in this Bardo state? It sounds pretty overwhelming.
The book says it's really important to stay conscious the whole time. And that's where that preparation we were talking about earlier really comes in.
So the more we cultivate that awareness of pure spiritual consciousness in this life, the better equipped we are to navigate the Bardo after death.
Exactly. It's like building up a muscle, you know?
Yeah.
The more you practice recognizing the true nature of reality in this life, the stronger that ability becomes and the better you can handle the challenges of the Bardo.
So this is all fascinating, but I have to ask, what's the big picture here? According to the book, what's the point of all this? Why go through any of this?
The Book of Sacraments says the ultimate goal is liberation from that cycle of birth and death. To reach that, you have to recognize how illusory reality is and take refuge in that pure spiritual consciousness, that underlying reality that goes beyond the material world.
So the journey through the Bardo is like a training ground for ultimate liberation. But there's more to it than that, right? It also talks about coming back to the world.
It does. There's a powerful message about service in this book. Once you've reached a certain level of awareness, the idea is that you come back to the world and help others wake up to this truth, to guide them, to help them heal. It's recognizing that we're all connected and that we have a responsibility to each other.
Wow, coming back to this crazy world after experiencing ultimate reality. That's a lot to consider.
And bring that awareness back with you. This book isn't just about preparing for death. It's about living a more conscious life right now.
This is definitely giving me a lot to think about. The Book of Sacraments really challenges our typical ideas about life, death, and everything in between.
It does. It really encourages us to think outside the box, to question what we assume to be true, and to embrace the mystery of it all.
Okay, we've covered a lot of ground, but it's clear there's still so much more to explore. Before we go any further, are there any key takeaways you think are really important for us to remember from this initial look at the book?
I think the biggest takeaway is this idea that the book's challenging us to actively shape our experience, both in life and in death. It's not about just accepting fate passively, but consciously choosing how we engage with reality.
That's a powerful message. It's not just about what happens to us after we die, but how we live right now, knowing that our choices have a bigger impact than just this physical life.
You got it. The Book of Sacraments really pushes us to approach life, death, and everything in between with awareness, intention, and yeah, a willingness to embrace what we don't know.
And speaking of taking an active role, the Book of Sacraments also mentions some specific things you can do, practices that can help with this whole journey.
Right. Like we mentioned earlier, that six syllables mantra, Om Mani Hung Yom, how does that fit in with all of this? It's described as a powerful tool to close off those doors to unconscious rebirth, to those six worlds.
Okay, hold on. Back up for a second. You keep mentioning these six worlds. What are those exactly?
Right. Yeah, the book talks about these six worlds as kind of like realms of existence. Each one's got its own set of challenges and opportunities to grow spiritually. You've got the world of the gods, the titans, humans, animals, the hungry ghosts, and then the hell realms.
So are we talking actual physical places or more like states of being?
That's a great question. And honestly, the book kind of leaves it open to interpretation. But it does seem to suggest that we can experience these different realms both during life and in the Bardo.
So it's about being aware of those forces that drive us, right? The attachments that keep us stuck, and ultimately finding a way to break free from them.
Yeah, exactly. It's about noticing the patterns in our own minds, the tendencies that might pull us towards certain realms or experiences, and then making conscious choices to change those patterns.
That makes sense. So let's say we're in the Bardo, navigating these different realms, seeing all sorts of visions. Where do guides come into all this?
Well, the book's full of descriptions of guides.
Yeah.
Some are peaceful, and well, some are a bit more on the abominable side.
Right.
Kind of like these archetypal figures, embodying different qualities or energies. Some want to help guide you towards the light, while others, they represent obstacles or temptations, testing you.
So you got your benevolent guides and then your trickster guides. Sounds like cosmic adventure with a whole cast of characters.
And definitely a journey with a lot of twists and turns, that's for sure. And it's up to you to figure out which voices to listen to, which paths to follow. Remember, the book really stresses that real guidance comes from within, from connecting with that pure spiritual consciousness.
That makes sense. But how do you know if you're actually connecting with that pure spiritual consciousness or just getting caught up in your own imagination or delusions?
That is the million-dollar question. And it's something the book really wants us to wrestle with. It emphasizes self-awareness, always questioning your own motives, your assumptions, and it talks about surrender, too, letting go of your ego's need to be in control.
Man, that sounds hard, especially in the middle of all this chaos and intensity. How do you even start to cultivate that kind of self-awareness, that surrender?
It's a practice. It's a lifelong journey. It's
Yeah.
not always easy, no. But the book suggests that by cultivating mindfulness, by paying attention to your thoughts, your emotions, your actions, that's how you start to see more clearly who you are and what really matters.
So it's bringing that same kind of awareness that we're trying to develop for the Bardo into our daily lives.
That's exactly it. Living more consciously, making choices that line up with your values, and recognizing how connected everything is.
Okay, so we've talked about the journey through the Bardo, clear light, secondary clear light, all those realms, the guides. But what about the structure of the book itself?
You're right. It's important to remember that the Book of Sacraments is written as a series of, numbered aphorisms or prayers, almost like affirmations to guide you along the way. It's not a story. It's more like a collection of wisdom teachings.
So it's less like a textbook and more like I don't know, a collection of mantras or reflections.
Exactly. It's designed to inspire you, to guide you, something you can come back to again and again throughout your life.
And that brings us back to Linda Khoro's wish, to have this book read to her on her deathbed. Sounds like it was more than just an interesting read for her. It was something deeply personal, transformative.
Yeah, I think that speaks to the power this book holds. It's not just giving you information about what happens after death, it's showing you a way to live, to be in the world, a way that can bring peace, clarity, and purpose.
And speaking of purpose, earlier we were talking about that idea of service, which the book emphasizes. Can you talk more about that? What does it mean to come back to the world after experiencing this ultimate reality?
It's a beautiful concept, you know. The book suggests that once you've had a glimpse of the true nature of reality, you can't help but want to share it with others. It's seeing that we're all connected, our own individual journeys, they're all part of something bigger.
So it's not just about reaching personal enlightenment, but contributing to the enlightenment of everyone.
That's the core teaching, yeah. True liberation doesn't come from running away from the world, it comes from transforming it with love and compassion.
That's a powerful message. But it makes me wonder if we come back to this world to help others, how do we do that? What does that actually look like?
That's a great question. And honestly, the answer is going to be different for everyone. The Book of Sacraments doesn't give you a step-by-step plan. It's more about cultivating that inner awareness, connecting to the pure spiritual consciousness, and trusting that you'll be guided.
So it's not forcing ourselves to fit into a specific role or follow someone else's path. It's about listening to our own inner wisdom, our intuition, and letting that guide our actions.
You got it. The book makes it clear that true service comes from being authentic, from making sure your actions match your deepest values and what you really want in life.
You know, one thing that I find really interesting about this book is that idea of reforming worldly consciousness to get ready for rebirth. Can you explain that a bit more?
It's like we're making a choice, consciously choosing what qualities we want to work on in our next life, the lessons we want to learn, the contributions we want to make. It's about being a co-creator of your own destiny, not just in terms of the circumstances you're born into, but the qualities of your mind and heart too.
So it's not just about being born into a good family or a comfortable life. It's about choosing a path that helps you fulfill your soul's purpose, a path where you can keep evolving, keep growing, both spiritually and in service to others.
Exactly. That's what makes this book so empowering. You know, it's not about passively accepting whatever fate throws at you. It's about taking an active role in shaping your experience, both in this life and the next.
Thinking about the Book of Sacraments this way has really changed how I see reincarnation. It's not just about randomly being reborn as, I don't know, a bug or a badger. It's about making choices that help you evolve and increase your ability to serve.
You got it. And it's seeing that this journey doesn't just stop with death. It just changes.
We've covered a lot in this deep dive, but I want to come back to something you mentioned earlier, this idea of recognizing that we're all interconnected. Why is that so important, especially with this book?
It's the very core of what this book's all about. The more we understand that we're not these separate, isolated beings, but part of this huge web of consciousness, the more compassion we feel. We start to see the suffering of others as our own. And that makes us want to take action to help, to contribute to everyone's well-being.
That's a huge shift in how we see things, isn't it? Going from me versus them to realizing that we're all human, all connected to every living thing.
It is. And from that sense of connection, a deeper purpose starts to emerge. We see that our own individual journeys, they're not just about us reaching liberation. They're about helping consciousness itself to awaken.
That's a beautiful thought. It's not about escaping the world, but changing it, bringing more light, more compassion, more awareness to everything around us.
Exactly. It's about realizing that we're not just along for the ride, we're active participants, helping to create a world that's more awake, more compassionate, and more connected.
Wow. The Book of Sacraments is really a call to action, a challenge to step up and be our best selves, to become agents of change.
It is. It reminds us that we have more power than we think to shape our own experience, to make choices that match our deepest values, and to help consciousness itself to evolve.
Okay, we've covered a lot of ground today, but it's obvious that there's still much more to explore. Before we move on to the next chapter, any last thoughts you'd like to share about the Book of Sacraments?
I think the most important thing to remember is that this book's inviting us to wake up, to remember who we really are, and to live a life that reflects that truth. It's calling us to embrace the mystery, to face our fears, and to step into our full potential in this life and the next.
That's a powerful message, one that I think will stay with me long after we finish this deep dive. But for now, let's take a breath and move on to the next part of our exploration of the Book of Sacraments.
Okay, so we're back, ready to wrap up our deep dive into the Book of Sacraments. We've gone through a lot, the bardo, those crazy intense visions, even picking your next rebirth. But this idea keeps coming back, the idea of coming back to the world, to serve others. It's not just about getting off this merry-go-round of life and death. It's about coming back and helping other people. What are your thoughts on that?
It really makes you think, doesn't it? I mean, you've seen this deeper reality, experience how vast consciousness is beyond all the physical stuff. And then you want to come back and share that, help others wake up to their own true nature. It does make you wonder, right? Like, if the whole point is to be free from this cycle of birth and death, why would anyone choose to come back to this world? It can be a pretty messy, challenging place.
And that's where I think compassion comes in. The book says that as you move along on this spiritual path, shedding those attachments to the material world and connecting more with that pure spiritual consciousness, compassion just kind of naturally arises. You see the suffering of others not as something separate from you, but as like an extension of your own experience.
So it's not just about saving yourself. It's about realizing we're all in this together, connected in ways we can't even fully understand.
You got it. And from that realization of being connected, from that deep well of compassion, you get this urge to serve, to help lessen the suffering of others, to guide them towards their own awakening.
It's a beautiful idea, but it also brings up a lot of questions for me. How do you balance wanting to serve with needing to keep growing spiritually yourself? How do you know what kind of service is right for you?
Those are great questions. And to be honest, I don't think there's one right answer that fits everyone. The Book of Sacraments doesn't give you this like pre-packaged program for how to serve. It's more about developing that awareness inside yourself, connecting to that pure spiritual consciousness, and trusting that the guidance will come.
So it's not about forcing yourself into a role or following a path someone else laid out for you. It's about listening to that inner wisdom, your intuition, and letting that guide your actions.
Exactly. The book makes a big point about saying that true service comes from being genuine, from making sure your actions match up with your deepest values and aspirations.
You know, there's one thing that really sticks out to me in the book. It's this idea of reforming worldly consciousness to get ready for being reborn. Can you talk a little more about what that means?
It's almost like you're making a conscious decision about the qualities you want to work on in your next life, the lessons you want to learn, the things you want to contribute. It's about becoming a conscious co-creator of your own destiny, you know, not just in terms of the circumstances you're born into, but also the qualities of your mind and your heart.
So it's not just about being born into a good family or having a comfortable life. It's about choosing a path that really fits with your soul's purpose, a path that lets you keep evolving and growing both spiritually and in how you serve others.
Exactly. That's what I think is so amazing about this book. It's not about just accepting whatever fate throws at you. It's about taking an active role in shaping your own experience, both in this life and the next.
Thinking about the Book of Sacraments in this way really makes me see reincarnation differently. It's not just about randomly coming back as, I don't know, a bug or a badger. It's about making choices that actually help you evolve and become better at serving others.
Right. And it's realizing that this journey doesn't just end when you die. It transforms.
We've talked about a ton in this deep dive, but I want to touch on something you said before about recognizing how connected we all are. Why is that so important, especially for understanding this book?
It's like the foundation of the whole message. The more we understand that we're not these separate, isolated individuals, that we're part of this gigantic web of consciousness, the more compassion we have. We start to feel the suffering of others like it's our own, and that motivates us to take action, to help, to make things better for everyone.
It's a huge change in how we see things, isn't it? To go from thinking me versus them to realizing we're all human, all part of this interconnected web of life.
It really is. And from that feeling of being connected, a deeper sense of purpose starts to come out. We realize that our own journey isn't just about us reaching liberation. It's about helping consciousness itself to awaken and grow.
That's a beautiful way to think about it. It's not about escaping the world, but changing it, bringing more light and compassion and awareness to every corner of existence.
Absolutely. It's about realizing that we're not just passive passengers on this journey. We're active participants, helping to create a world that's more awakened, more compassionate, and more connected.
Wow. The Book of Sacraments is a real call to action, isn't it? It's like a challenge to step up and be the best version of ourselves, to become agents of real change.
Exactly. It reminds us that we have way more power than we think to shape our own experiences, to make choices that really reflect our deepest values, and to play a part in the evolution of consciousness itself.
This deep dive has been incredible. We've explored the mysteries of the Bardo, talked about the challenges and opportunities of this afterlife journey, and uncovered that deep call to service that runs throughout the Book of Sacraments. Any final thoughts you want to share with our listeners before we wrap up?
You know, if anything we've discussed today has resonated with you, I really encourage you to check out the Book of Sacraments for yourself. It's a journey that might challenge what you think you know, expand your perspective, and ultimately empower you to live a more conscious, meaningful life.
It's definitely a book that invites you to really think deeply about things and to be open to the unknown. And who knows, it might just change how you think about life, death, and everything in between.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
And until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep seeking those deeper truths that connect us all.